History can help explain who we are as a people, a society, or a country, where we are, and how we got here. It can also help us understand others by providing context and perspective while increasing understanding. History also has a practical side. It can provide lessons. While it is true that no two situations are exactly alike in every detail, there are patterns. George Santayana, a late 19th and early 20th century writer, went so far as to suggest, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." As you would expect, there is an almost unlimited amount of history that could be mined to provide background for anyone seeking to gain a better understanding of the world. In an attempt to provide history that is useful but manageable in scale, I deal with what is widely understood to constitute the modern international era, that is, the history that starts in the 17th century. This start date is not arbitrary. The Thirty Years' War, a conflict that involved much of Europe and that had both political and religious dimensions, ended in 1648 with the Treaty of Westphalia, a peace agreement that is widely viewed as heralding the rise of the modern international system, one with sovereign countries accepting one another's independence and respecting the boundaries separating them. There is admittedly a European bias in all this. There is, however, a logic behind it. In this era, Europe had an outsized role in and influence over other parts of the world, and the norms embodied in the Treaty of Westphalia continued to provide the foundation of international relations throughout the world. In fact, some of the countries, China comes to mind, that are the most Westphalian now and hold the most traditional views of sovereignty can be found outside Europe. The history presented here is divided into four periods. The first covers the longest period, roughly 300 years, from the early 17th century to the outbreak of World War I in 1914. In addition to the rise of the modern international state system, this period spans the colonial period, the demise of several empires, the opening of Japan, and the creation of Germany, the American Civil War and the subsequent rise of the United States as a great power, and the emergence of technologies that revolutionized manufacturing, transportation, and warfare. The second period focuses on roughly three decades, from 1914 through 1945, the deadliest years in all of history. It is bookended by the two prolonged and costly world wars that dominated the first half of the 20th century. It also includes the establishment and subsequent failure of the League of Nations, the Great Depression, the rise of nationalism and fascism, and the many errors of foreign policy and diplomacy that contributed to the outbreak of World War for the second time in a single century. The third section is devoted to the Cold War, the four-decade period following the end of World War II that was dominated by the struggle between the United States and the Soviet Union. It looks at why the Cold War broke out, why it stayed cold, and why it ended when and how it did. The fourth and final history chapter assesses the post-Cold War period. It began in 1989, and three decades later is still where we find ourselves. At some point, this era will better define itself and earn a new name. Too much is unsettled and uncertain for us to know what will emerge and how it will appear in the eye of the historian. Again, though, it is essential to know how this era has unfolded to this point, if we are to grasp where we stand.